All right, good morning, Eagles Way. Thanks, David.
Good morning, Eagles Way.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. I have to tell you guys, as of, I think, about 8:30 this morning, I called Dusty, and I had no intentions whatsoever of delivering the welcome this morning. And that's because I have to go to the airport. And when I say I have to go to the airport, I mean I literally have to walk down from these steps the minute this is over and leave and go to the airport to take my wife. So I didn't think I would be able to do it, but I called Dusty, and she didn't give me an option to not do it. She said, yeah, we have communion covered, so if you could just do the welcome, that'd be fine. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm still doing the welcome. But in that moment, you know, something came over me, and there was something I needed to come here to say to you all. You know, you see me here a lot, but you don't see my wife here, and that's because she's a hard-working woman. She works long hours all the time. She's a student. She's raising a 7-year-old. She's raising a 34-year-old. She has a 4-month-old. She's doing a lot. And, you know, it puts a lot of stress on our family, a lot of stress on our marriage. And it's tough. It's tough sometimes. And we've been really praying for a better situation. And just before she went on maternity leave, that opportunity presented itself. They said, you know, it's not a 9-to-5, 8-to-5 job, but you can pick and choose your schedule. Still long hours, but you can pick and choose where those long hours fall, which was a great situation for us, and we were all happy. They said, well, hold it while you're out on maternity leave. She goes out on maternity leave, and we find out through social media that they filled the position. So just like that, it was boom, back to square one. Not to mention the position that she was currently working, they shifted people around, gave that to someone else. So on her way back, the only position available was an overnight position. So we were going to be faced with an overnight working mother with a newborn at home. And I told her, I said, you know what? If you walk in and they tell you you're working overnight, you're just going to have to be prepared to turn in your keys. We'll figure it out financially. You're just going to have to be prepared. You know, you think about God, and I've heard the phrase many times, we serve a God of the dawn. You know, and growing up, people say the darkest part of night is just before dawn. I don't know if that's scientifically proven, but, you know, just before you get to that moment, it gets really dark. She goes back to work, gets her old job back, but still long hours. It's hard with a newborn at home, you know, kissing the babies in the morning and then getting home in their sleep. You know, kissing your husband in the morning and then saying goodnight. That's all you get during the day. It's really hard. And then another position popped up. She applied, even though on paper she wasn't quite, she was qualified, but she hadn't served the time for this position. And she was hired. She got the position. So it's a promotion, 8-to-5, no holidays, great job. So I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then she comes and tells me that my training for the position will be 3 weeks in Arkansas. And I'm like, oh, my God. You're leaving me at home with two boys, one of which I know nothing about. But I'm going to have to figure it out. And I just started thinking about today. You know, there's somebody here that needs to hear that it's going to get better. Just keep fighting, keep praying, keep standing tall. It's going to get better. And even when you see that sun on the horizon, sometimes you may shift your position a little bit and it goes behind a mountain and you can't see it anymore. But you know what? There's a finite height to that mountain. That mountain is only so tall, but that sun is going to continue to rise. These 3 weeks, it's just a mountain in the way, but that sun is still rising behind it. We caught a glimpse of it, but it's still rising behind it. And again, I don't know who needs to hear this. I don't know what you're going through. You guys didn't know what I was going through until I just told you. You just don't know. But somebody here needed to hear this. And if you're here today and you're looking to get past that last hour, to get over that mountain, Eagles Way has a support system. I mean, a lot of people here that I've talked to, a lot of people that prayed with me and cried with me and just helped get us to where we are. So I'd like to take this time to invite you to stand and worship with us. Welcome to Eagles Way.
Guys, if we'll just stand, and I want to say something before we get started. This is a new song. It's called Here's in Heaven. And I just want to invite you to forget anything that's going on outside and just focus on God's presence here. I want to read to you what it says about this song. It's a little devotional. It says, "Praise changes the atmosphere of our lives. It opens our eyes to see the presence of God and reminds us that miracles can happen at any moment. Here's in Heaven is a declaration that in God's presence, anything is possible. It simultaneously arrests our spirit, holding our focus on God's goodness to us, and cries out for His presence to be poured out in our lives. The lyrics of this song invite us into the process of asking God for a breakthrough, from establishing a sense of expectations. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here." It goes on to ask God for a fresh awareness. It says, "Spirit of God, all fresh on us, we need your presence." Then it goes on to believing God for the impossible. With the next lyrics, "A miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here." We live under an open heaven. If we open our hearts by faith to receive it, God will fill us with His love and allow His miracles, working power, to overflow into every area of our lives. So I invite you this morning, be aware and let's open up our hearts and let God's presence fill this room like He's never has before.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Believe it, church.
The atmosphere is changing. Of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. Miracle can happen now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Thank you.
You move to us, in us, and through us. Filling us with every bit of peace, every bit of love, every bit of joy and compassion, no matter what kind of storm is happening. Teach us to dance in the rain. That's what it's all about. We create this life with you because you are in us. We surrender it to you today because you are here and you can take it away. You don't hold anything back. And when we don't hold anything back from you, that's where all the magic happens.
Stop!
thank you that you don't hide from us, God. We thank you that you give hope, you restore. We thank you for your presence this morning, God. And we sing this to you, God. Great are you, Lord. We mean it from the depths of our soul. And Father, we are so thankful for who you are, for giving us this life. We thank you for it this morning.
Great are you, Lord.
Father, we pour out our praise to you this morning, God. You are so good, God. Thank you for bringing your presence here with us today, God. In Jesus' name,
amen. Man, I love worship. Don't you love worship? I love his presence. We're going to be talking today about worship, and before I do, you'll see a lot of about all the pastors left me, and I've got Ron here. He's almost a pastor. Pastor Will and Jenny are with their family this weekend away celebrating Luke's birthday. So how many of you are thankful for Pastor Will and everything he does? He works hard. And so I'm excited for them that they can be together and just enjoy one another. And thank you for giving them that opportunity. I thank you just as mom and dad's daughter that you honor them the way you do, and that they're able to take these next two Sundays off and just allow their hearts, their spirits, their minds to renew, to be refreshed. It was a heavy, heavy week, I know, for many, and it was a heavy week for mom and dad as they, I guess, most of you, I guess, probably know a young man who started coming here about 4 weeks ago. This past Sunday, made a decision to end his life. And his name was Coleman, for those of you who don't know. And 4 weeks ago, in this house, he accepted Christ as a Savior. And in as much as I'm thankful for mom and dad and for Will and for all they do, I know if they were here, they would say thank you. And thank you for being who you are. I know they would look at you, Mr. Jim, and say thank you for taking that Friday and spending the whole day with Coleman, because I know what I get from you and I'm with you and it's nothing but goodness and love. And I know that's what he got. And to Jason Torres, who poured into his life on the very, very day that he chose to end it. And it just reminded me, this is why we do what we do. What we do here matters. Our worship matters. Coming into these doors matter, because we are the hope of the world. We are the hope of everything that happens outside of these walls. And we're going to be talking over the next couple of weeks about the power of his praise. Today I'm going to talk about the power of our praise, the power of his presence. And I know there are probably Sundays you come in here and you don't feel like worshiping, or you don't probably don't even feel like getting up, and you just want to stay in your PJs and drink your coffee and chill, and it feels really, really good. I know it felt really good this morning. But something happens when I make the choice to come through these doors and enter into his presence. And in as much as I know you guys enjoy the praise team, I feel like I love them even more than you do, because I get to see what happens back there. I get to see what happens in rehearsal. I see what happens right before they come out and we're back there praying. And then at the end of the prayer, and Lauren says, yes, because they have this awareness that they're about to come out on stage and they're about to usher in the presence of God. And I love this quote that I read. It says, worship rolls out the red carpet for the presence of the Lord. And it's where we're able to come in here and say, fill our hearts, refresh our spirits, renew our minds, and something big happens when we engage, when we surrender. Let me tell you, something big happens when we raise our hands. I lost Chris just there. Man, we're going to talk about even the lifting of hands. Just come back to me. Those of you who were just kind of got scared in that moment, just come on back to me. And I'm going to show you a video of some different praise styles, hand raising styles, if you will. Chris is more of the coffee cup praise. How many of you are the coffee cup kind of praise people? And I know sometimes you think, I do that at home, or I hope you don't do it in your car. It's about to say, do it in my car. Don't do it in your car, hands on the wheel. But 99% of the time when the scriptures talk about worship, it's talking about corporate worship, what we do here. And Psalm says, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Come, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing songs of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The seas belong to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. Big things happen when we come together. There's a story in 2 Chronicles where the children of Judah actually sent their praise team out before them, and they played and sang and won the battle. And that's what praise does. You see, most of your battles in life are going to be won by engaging in praise, by responding in worship. Most of your battles are going to be won when you are able to fix your thoughts on the one who is mighty to save, the one who holds it all together. You see, praise can be the solution to your problem. I said, praise can be the solution to your problem. You know the story of Paul and Silas. It says, along about midnight, Paul and Silas were at prayer and singing a robust hymn to God. Now, they're in prison. These are not ideal circumstances to be worshiping God. And the prisoners couldn't believe their ears. Then, without warning, a huge earthquake. The jailhouse tottered, and every door flew open, and all of the prisoners were loose. You see, they lifted their hands above their problem, above their circumstance, above their discomfort, above their pain, and they focused on the one who was able to do what? To make miracles happen, to do big things. You see, this is why corporate worship is so important. Is not only did it free them, but who else did it free in that prison? It freed everybody, every other prisoner. It set them free. So not only does big things happen in your life, but the person sitting next to you, you never know the chains are going to fall off of them because you are being obedient and lifting your praises to him. Because you see, the scripture says that God inhabits our praises. That means he dwells there. He lives. He lives in this. He lives. He dwells. And where his presence is, miracles flow. Big things happen. And it not only sets you free, but it sets the people around you free. And it says, startled from sleep, the jailer saw all the doors swinging loose on their hinges. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he pulled out his sword. The jailer pulls out his sword and was about to do himself in, figuring he was as good as dead anyway. When Paul stopped him, Paul stops the jailer and says, stop. Don't do that. Nobody's left. We're all here. Why is this important? Why is it important that Paul tells the jailer, stop, don't do yourself in, the one who's tortured us, the one who's put us here? Why? Because he had such an understanding through his praise and worship of all the graces and the mercies that have been shown to him, that how could he not show that same grace and that same mercy to his jailer? You see what happens when we come here and we engage in praise and worship, those people that you've struggled with or those relationships that have been hard, suddenly you have this awareness of his mercy and his goodness flowing to you. And you know what you're able to do? To release that same goodness and that same mercy to those who have hurt you. It says the jailer got a torch and ran inside. Badly shaken, he collapsed in front of Paul and Silas. He led them out of the jail and asked, "Sirs, what do I have to do to be saved, to really live?" There was no altar call here. Eric wasn't at a keyboard. Kitty wasn't at a piano. There was nothing, you know, there was no ambient noise, as we call it, going on in the background. It was just this guy who saw something in their worship and said, "I need that. Show me how to live like that. Show me how to live as he's called us to live and give us this life and this life to the full." And then they said, "Put your entire trust in the Master Jesus, then you'll live as you were meant to live, and everyone in your house included." And they went on to spell out in detail the story of the Master. The entire family got in on this part. They never did get to bed that night. And the jailer, this is cool, made them feel at home. And the jailer dressed their wounds. You see, what's cool is that the very person who inflicted the wounds became full circle, became the one who ministered healing to the wounds. Praise is so powerful that it can cause those who have hurt you to even come back and nurture you. You know, I would imagine if I were Paul and Silas, Chris knows enough about me when, you know, if I'm out of like French vanilla creamer or something in the morning, it's, you know, it's a hard morning. So, you know, you're already, it's hard to think about praising God and even in that situation. But I just can't imagine that if I were Paul and Silas, in my pain and my discomfort and my uncomfortable position, that my thoughts are going to be to not focus on that situation, but instead to, let's praise God. Let's just start singing praises. But I think Paul and Silas had this knowledge that they may not know what God's gonna do, but they started thinking about what he had already done. They may not have known if God was going to rescue them out of there, if anybody was gonna have mercy, but I guarantee you, they knew what God had already done. So they started praising him for what he all had already done. You see, your praise has to overcome what you feel like doing. I was talking to Big Mama before the service, and she said, "Everything that could go wrong this morning just went wrong. And this went wrong, and then I did this, and then I did that. And I'm thinking, and she's 97 years old, and she's here this morning after everything. You see, she's lived long enough. She has served God long enough to know that what her praise has to supersede her feels, what she feels like doing. And the scripture says, "I will bless the Lord," when? At all times. Not just in my victories, not just when things are going well, but I will bless him at all times. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like standing through four songs. You guys changed the seating arrangements. I don't even know where I'm supposed to sit now. You've really just kind of messed with my whole mind now. And so I don't like your music. It's too slow. It's too fast. It's too loud. I only sing in the key of G. Or you're like Pastor Will, you make up your own key. Jet is my kid. He only likes boy songs. So if it's a girl song, he's out. If Brandon or Jacob are not leading praise and worship, Jet pulls the ejection handle. He's out. But he's six, and you're not 6 years old. you get to come in here and make a decision that today I'm going to surrender myself. And it may look for you, and I know sometimes you probably look on this stage and my hands are so high. Like if I had one of those little, you know, cool mics, I would be just like this on stage, because raising your hands, how many of you know it is the international form of surrender? And when I raise my hands, it reminds me to whom my soul belongs. And I know it's awkward, and I know you're thinking I could never do it. I'm just telling you, maybe start here. Maybe go to here. Wide screen. Maybe go up here. Because what happens when I fully surrender myself to Him? Man, I'm just telling you, you're fully surrendered to His presence. You're fully surrendered to His Spirit. And that's where miracles happen. You see, can you just keep doing, can you just have your hands in your pockets? And I mean, if that's what you got to do, cool. I'm just saying, try it. Just try it. And all through scriptures, it talks about the lifting of the hands. Psalm 63 says, I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. Psalm 134, lift up holy hands in prayer and praise the Lord. Accept my prayers, incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. It's not just about the method. It's not just about the act of doing it. It's what happens within us. It's a heart issue. It's what happens to us when we fully surrender. And I know some of you, Brandon was probably raising his hands for the Georgia game for a minute, and then you weren't raising your hands anymore. But you see, Georgia may let you down, but God's promises are not going to let you down. You see, when we sing songs, we've learned enough to know about confessions. When you're able to make confessions like faithful you have been, and faithful you will be, big things happen. We don't just sing songs. We sing anthems. We sing confessions. We sing and worship God because that is where our battles are won. You see, when you praise God, things change. Things can change in your marriage. Things can change in your family. Things changed for Paul and Silas. There was a lady in the Bible, her name was Hannah, and she wanted a baby. She wanted a child so badly, and God promised her one, but it wasn't happening, and she was heartbroken. And if you read her story, you find that she ended up in the temple, and you know what she was doing? She was praising and worshiping God, and then God gave her that baby boy, Samuel, because she worshiped him when she didn't feel like it. There's two reasons, two of the greatest reasons to worship God. Number one, because He's already done more than you think He has. Raise your hand if you have something to thank God for today, just something. See, y'all can raise your hands. Look at you, you can do it. But He's already done more. I know all the things that I can thank Him for. I know all the things that I can praise Him for. I mean, I can go for days. Couldn't you just go for days and days and days thanking God for what He's done in your life? And then I think about the things I don't even know He's done. Paul and Silas knew what He had already done for them. And whenever we can come in here and thank God for what He's done, I know something big happens. Happens within me. It happens within you. When we come together and do that, and when you get overwhelmed in your day, or you get a bad phone call, or you get bad news, or maybe it was just a stressful day, and you're able to just say thank you and recenter and refocus on Him. The other day, this was maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and it wasn't a bad day, hadn't even been a stressful day. It's just, you know, a long day. Family of five, kids here, kids there, kids everywhere, and you get home, and I hear John Henry in the kitchen. He's sitting on the kitchen table with his guitar, and he starts playing and singing, "How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love, for the way that you come, for all that you are and all that you do, my heart pours out. Thank you." And then Anna starts singing, and then I start singing, and before we know, we're all singing, "You don't have to come, but you always do." And in that moment, at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, it's like nothing else matters. Nothing else matters when we are able to remember what He's done, to recenter. It keeps us grounded. I want my children to know that praise and worship will always keep them grounded, and it will always recenter them back on the One, and in those moments where that's where their battles are won. And finally, we praise God because He's going to do more than you think He's going to do. We praise Him because He's already done more than we think He has, and the praise team can be coming. But we praise Him because He's going to do more than you think He's going to do. I love Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us." He's saying, "I'm going to do something big. I'm going to do something bigger. I can dream big. I can't, Ray, can you? Do you imagine big things? Do you imagine God doing big?" He's saying, "I'm going to do more." I love what Brandon read in this devotional. He said, "Praise changes the atmosphere of our lives. It opens our eyes to see the presence of God and reminds us that miracles can happen at any moment. Here as in heaven," this first song, this new song we did this morning, "is a declaration that in God's presence, anything is possible. It simultaneously arrests our spirit, holding our focus on God's goodness to us, and cries out for His presence to be poured out in our lives." There's a story in the Bible, in John, where there was a certain season, a certain time of the year at the Pool of Bethesda, where it says an angel would come and stir the waters. And Bethesda means mercy, so it's the pool of mercy. And the angel would come and stir the waters, and the first one who got in those waters were made whole, were healed. You never know when God's going to stir the waters. You never know when He's about to do something really extraordinary in your life. You never know what's about to happen when you fully surrender to His presence. You never know. This is your pool of mercy. These are your waters where you get to engage, you get to praise, and you get to thank Him for what He's done. And He's done so much good. He's done so much. And you get to thank Him that He's promised, "I'm going to do more than you can imagine." So I'm going to ask you to stand. After this song, we're going to take communion. And then Mike T is going to come up and receive the tithes. But I want us to step into these waters and to praise him and to thank him. Thank him for what he's done for you this week. I can name so many things that he's done for me this week. So let's praise him, and then we'll come back up and we'll take communion.
Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing. Your kingdom come, your will.
You know, if we didn't have anything else to thank him for but his son, and for the eternal life he gives, the promises he gives of just that we're made whole, that we're holy, that we're righteous, that we're clean. If we had nothing else to thank him for, that's enough. That's enough reason to praise him. We're going to receive communion, and I know this is the first time we've received communion with this new setup, and those of you who are going to be helping me serve communion, and if you see somebody who needs to come up and grab something, just make yourself one of those people. But the way we're going to do this is that if you move to your left, everybody like this side will come this way. Everybody just move to your left to receive the elements. Father, we thank you for your body that was broken for us, God. We give you thanks. We take it in remembrance of all of your goodness. We thank you for your blood, God, that was poured out to make us whole, to make us righteous, to make us new. And we thank you, God, Lord, that you are always, always willing to do, and you're going to do more than we could ever imagine, think. And to right now in this moment, Father, we remember what you've done for us, what you're going to do for us, and we thank you, and we drink this, Father, in remembrance of all of your goodness. Amen.
You guys can be seated. You guys might want to sit down too. I had anxiety this morning, and I don't get anxiety much. I'm pretty comfortable wherever I go. I don't care who's around me. I'm who I am. But this morning I got up and I put on really nice clothes, Dusty. I had a thing that they were ironed, and then they had tucked in, and the belt and everything, the shoes, and matched the belt. It was awesome. And I got in my car, and as clear as the day is right now, God said, go back home and just be you. Just be you. Go put on some jeans. Go put on a shirt. It's got the bleach stains on it. Just go be you, Mike. I was like, but I have to get up in front of the people. And the people know who I am here. Here, the people know who I am. I'm thankful for this church. You asked what we were thankful for, and you had us raise our hands this morning. Well, I have three things. I'm thankful for this church that I can just be me. I can come in these doors, and everybody here knows who I am. Squirrel. And they love me for it. I'm thankful that this church taught me that there's no separation between me and God. He's not out there somewhere. He's in here. And I serve a God that's fully possessive. So my shame is his. My sin is his. Those things are his. Those aren't mine anymore. I'm thankful for no separation. That I don't have to come in here and be something I'm not. I'm me. And he loves me for it. I'm thankful that this is a place where hurt and broken people come. I'm thankful that this is a place that you can walk in those doors, and it doesn't matter if you make $18 bazillion a year or negative three, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. This is a place that you can come in and be who you are. Be hurt, be broken, but be you. Now, we don't try to change people here. We give you opportunities for change, though. There's a place that you can come in here. There's a counseling services here. There's a people that are here. There's a man that speaks up here. There's his daughter. The people that get up here and say the words they say, don't take them lightly. because your heart's important to us here. So if you're here for the first time this morning, man, I'm glad you're here. If you're hurt or broken, I'm glad you're here, because there couldn't be a better place for you. My heart breaks this week because we lost somebody this week. He was a friend of mine. And he was hurt and he was broken. And he's not with us anymore. And I look and see where he sat last week. And my heart aches for his family. My heart aches for him. My heart aches for the people that loved him and still love him. Something took Coleman, and it's called addiction. It's called depression. It's called anxiety. And I know I've dealt with it. I know that I've hurt, and I know that I had to find in my heart the place that told me there's no separation from my shame in God. So this week, this day, this month, this year, all those things, if you're here and you're hurt and you're broken and you're shameful and you're full of what you call sin, whatever that may be, you're addicted, you're broken, don't do it by yourself. You're not by yourself. There's no separation. Reach out. Reach out to me. I've been there. I'm an addict. I'm a junkie. But you know what? Those things are on God now. I'm not those things anymore, because that's what he took from me. But I didn't just say some prayer and be instantly miraculously healed. I don't think that that can't happen. But I tell you what, it took work. Because I cleaned the houses of my heart out, and they were empty. This place gives you an opportunity to fill those rooms in your heart with good things. An empty house collects dust. Fill that house back up. Come here. Come talk to me. Come find help. It's not the end. Has this church ever helped you? If it has, raise your hand. It's helped me. Oh my gosh. Never judge me. Never judge me. Thank you. Thank you for this church. If the ushers would come, we're going to take an offering. And I'm just going to say a prayer. Lord, today I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a church that stands for the broken. I'm thankful for a place that I can come and remember that I'm not separate from you. That I don't have to reach out somewhere out there to find you. That all I have to do is see you on the inside of me. Lord, I pray you bless this offering, that it would serve a purpose, that serves this church and this community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven.
Stand, church.
Spirit of God, fall fresh on us. We need your presence. Your kingdom come, your will be done here as in heaven. Spirit of God,
have a great day. We'll see you next Sunday.